Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vascon Engineers Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Santosh Sundararajan, Group CEO, Vascon Engineers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Vascon Engineers for the fourth quarter and full year ended March 31st, 2023. Today, joining me on this call is Mr. Somnath Biswas, our CFO, and our investor relations team, Stellar Investor Relations. I believe you would have gone through the Q4 FY23 financial results and results presentation uploaded on the stock exchanges and on the company's website. Fiscal 2023 was an excellent year for the company and perhaps the continuation of a virtuous cycle that we have managed to create, with all elements of our businesses performing well. We have been in our past calls indicating that the management has been focusing on the basics of each of our segments, and this has yielded phenomenal results. Improved cash flow profile backed by sale of some of our non-core assets, better operational efficiencies in the EPC segment, picking up in real estate and GMP segments has helped us in lowering our debt. The reduction of this high-cost debt has allowed us to get decent credit rating from credible rating agencies like CRISIL and ACUITE, and it opens up avenues for the company to carry forward the growth cycle that has started in the year gone by. Over the last 8 quarters-10 quarters, you would have seen that we have been guiding for improving quarterly run rate, and this trend continued in Q4 FY23. From FY21, our total revenue has almost doubled from 518 crores to a decade high of 1,030 crores in FY23. Our profitability has improved significantly from a loss of 40 crores in FY21 to the highest-ever 100 crore profit in FY23. On the balance sheet side, cash conversion cycle has also improved, and net debt brought down to a mere 12 crores as on March 31st, 2023. With an order book at over three times of FY23 revenues, a strong balance sheet, high efficiency of all business segments, and our overall improved financial position, we believe we are well positioned to continue this growth trajectory in the coming quarters. Let me take you through these developments in a little bit of detail. Improved funding position. As you would recollect, we have been informing you that our credit rating has been improving, and with ACUITE's rating of BBB stable for long-term and A3 stable for short-term facilities, and CRISIL's rating of BBB stable for long-term and A3+ for short-term rating, we had commenced applying for enhanced BG limits. We are happy to report that we are in the final stages of getting those limits enhanced, and this will allow us to significantly increase our order book position and continue the EPC execution run rate. Currently, the company has a working capital of 243 crores as on FY2023 and expects to increase the working capital limit by 60 crores by end of this year. The ratings have also helped us negotiate better interest rates. EPC execution and order book. During the quarter, as well as for the full year, EPC revenue increased by 53% year-on-year and 22% quarter-on-quarter to 203 crores in Q4 FY23. And for FY23, revenue increased 58% year-on-year to 662 crores. Our EPC order book has been robust throughout the year. We started the year with an order book of 1,832 crores and won orders worth approximately 600 crores in the last 3 months. We had some large order book wins in the year gone by with some marquee projects such as the tender for Maharashtra State Police Department for construction of residential and Jila Karagar at Amethi Works worth about 450 crores in total, and our first-ever redevelopment project of 225 crores in Bandra, Mumbai. We executed orders worth 700 crores and closed the year with a total order book that stands at 2,172 crores, which forms almost three times of our FY23 EPC revenue, providing strong visibility of EPC revenue growth for the next 2-3 years. Of the total orders, external EPC orders are 1,739 crore, and the balance 388 crore are from internal orders. Further, almost 78% of the order book is towards government projects, which provides visibility of faster execution and uninterrupted cash flows. Real estate continues towards growth momentum. Coming to our real estate business, as we have been explaining for some time now, the nature of the bookkeeping treatments in terms of Ind AS requirements means that there can be some timing differences between booking of expenses and booking of revenues. Now that a large part of our real estate projects portfolio has completed, we will start seeing positive reflection on the results of our real estate business segment. Our new sales bookings in FY 2023 stood at 174,000 sq ft for a total sales value of 118 crore. During FY 2023, our real estate revenue stood at 115 crore and EBITDA at 39 crore. Gross margin came in at 49%, while EBITDA margin at 34%. We are hopeful of maintaining the momentum in real estate segment as we complete projects and have a good pipeline ahead. We are also tying up with realtors based in Pune, Mumbai, and Coimbatore. Lastly, the GMP business has started showing better performance now, and it has continued to deliver sustainable performance in the past quarter as well as the full year. Revenue of 256 crore for FY 2023 and healthy gross margins of 32%. EBITDA stood at rupees 25 crore with an EBITDA margin of 10% in FY 2023. Debt repayment continues. The company has been repaying a significant amount of high-cost debt over the last 2 years, and this has helped the company bring down its finance cost substantially during the year. We are happy to report that over the past 24 months, we have reduced our gross debt by 79 crore to 135 crore as on March 31st, 2023, as against 214 crore as on March 31st, 2021. This, along with the improved cash flow generation, has led to a net debt of only 12 crore as on March 31st, 2023, as against 134 crore as on March 31st, 2021. We will continue to pare debt as our cash flows keep improving. Before going to our financial performance, a little update on the overall industry scenario. The Indian budget for FY 2023-24 has been showing positive signs for economic outlook and is expected to grow at 7%, which is a robust growth rate as compared to the other major economies that are actually seeing a slowdown. With an increase in capital expenditure on infrastructure investment by 33% to 10 lakh crore for FY 2023-24, this significantly boosts the economy. Along with that, the real estate growth is predicted to coincide with the improvement of the domestic economy. This expansion is backed by the increased activities in the company, stronger job markets, and higher income levels, all of which will undoubtedly lead to an increase in real estate demand. Affordable housing is still under focus for the Indian government through various schemes as Housing for All under the PM Awas Yojana by increasing the outlay by 66% to rupees 79,000 crore. Apart from these initiatives, the government has been building and constructing infrastructure mega projects, including roadways, airports, metros, and so on under the PM Awas Yojana. These components will encourage both qualitative and quantitative growth in real estate investments. Coming to the financial performance of the company in Q4 FY 2023. On the overall financial performance, during Q4 FY 2023, the company reported a total income of rupees 251 crore as against rupees 153 crore in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 64% year-on-year. In Q4 FY 2023, the EBITDA stood at rupees 46 crore as against rupees 13 crore in the corresponding period last year. EBITDA margin was at 18%. The reported net profit of rupees 41 crore in Q4 FY 2023 is against rupees 6 crore in Q4 FY 2022. On a consolidated basis in Q4 FY 2023, the company reported a total income of rupees 336 crore as against rupees 222 crore in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 51% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at rupees 58 crore with an EBITDA margin of 17% against rupees 24 crore in Q4 FY 2022, and the net profit of rupees 50 crore as against rupees 11 crore in Q4 FY 2022. To conclude, we would like to reiterate that the company continues to be focused towards building a strong business with focus on execution of our projects, efficiently deploying our capital, increasing our order book while maintaining financial prudence, which will enhance profitability. With this, we can now open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The first question is from the line of Manish Ostwal from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question on the slide number 7 of our presentation. Sir, we have seen the growth in the revenue is around 55% on consolidated basis, whereas the employee cost and other expenses were flat on a YOY basis. Can you explain why the employee and other expenses flat despite the increase in the business volume, business growth?
This is, you're checking quarter to quarter, one second.
I'm talking about FY23 versus FY22, yearly numbers, not quarter to quarter.
Right. So yes, as I've been saying for some time, you know, like our employee capital costs, including both our employee costs as well as asset costs, are capable of performing much more than they have been performing. So we will be now having a little bit of increased employee costs in the coming year. But in the previous year, we maintained our employee costs at those levels. And the growth in top line has happened because, you know, the project finally got executed at the pace that they were to be executed.
The second question on the tax expense side, we have a tax expense in the P&L is at 3.88 crores and in the cash flow statement, this tax paid is 10.51 crores. So the tax rate is very low. So what should be the normalized tax rate for the FY24 for at a consolidated level, sir?
Till this year, we had carry forward losses. That's why our tax rate is very low and our PAT is almost the same as our PBT. Going forward, you know, we will then now, our carry forward losses are all extinguished. So from next year onwards, we will be paying taxes at normal corporate rates.
Okay. Sir, on one of the slides, we mentioned that selling of the non-core assets and asset monetization. So can you help us to understand what is the potential value we can generate from that corporate action?
So we've been discussing these non-core assets over the last few years in all our calls, and we're happy to report, you know, we've sort of made progress in most of them. We've even struck a deal for Aurangabad land, which is at an advanced stage, so that will also get executed. That only leaves us with Caledonia, and at a bigger level, you know, it leaves us with what we can do with GMP and Thane land, part of Thane land, if we view it that way. So going forward, we'll be focusing on trying to get exits from these if we get the right valuations.
So based on the current market valuation, what is the potential of those assets which for balance sheet of Boscon basically?
So I wouldn't want to speculate on the valuation. See, I mean, you would know better than me. You can study the balance sheet of GMP. They've been doing well. They've turned around this year. They've done very well and they look at, you know, growing from year on year. So when and at what valuation we would exit, I wouldn't want to speculate on a call. But if we feel it's good for the company and we're getting the right price, then we'll take a call.
Sure, sir. And lastly, in terms of growth outlook for the core EPC business for the next year, what kind of what is your growth guidance for the business of EPC?
So EPC will continue to grow. See, this year, of course, we had much higher growth percentage from last year because there was a lag due to COVID, and you know the project had to get executed. We do not expect the same percentage of growth next year, but we will definitely grow somewhere between 15% to 20% from this year's numbers in top line and bottom line.
Right, sir.
For
EPC. And one last question on the slightly longer term in our real estate business. So from a 3 to 5 year perspective, real estate business contribution into the P&L and our strategy to grow that business, How do you see that business to contribute at a consolidated level?
So real estate business will in the proportion that it brings to our balance sheet year on year from here, you will see the real estate business will grow. So far, for example, this year it has contributed about 100 odd crores. The thing with real estate though is that revenue recognition on balance sheet only comes in project completion. So it's very difficult to predict on a, you know, annual basis. But over the next 3-4 years, we have a lot of projects lined up in real estate. We are lining up even more projects. We have a robust team that is now fully charged up and geared up. And so our focus is definitely there to grow the real estate division parallelly and hopefully a little bit faster than even the EPC division.
So can we see similar growth rate in terms of volume in real estate business also vis-a-vis the EPC business?
Yes, definitely you can see that growth rate, in fact, probably better. But as I keep saying, in real estate, we'll have to average these things over a, you know, 3-year period, not year on year, because we do not have enough projects to be completing projects every year. So,
yes,
you know, typically on the balance sheet, you'll see those dips and rises. But if you average out for the next 3-4 years, yes, you will see much more growth than, you know, what even EPC is seeing.
Thanks a lot for answering all the questions, sir, and all the best for FY24.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Kumar Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on very strong operating performance. Just wanted to know, I mean, if you could give some color on terms of big pipeline in EPC segment and which area you are looking in terms of big pipeline. And you said that 60 crore limit will increase. So what kind of project you can get in FY24?
Yeah, see, we are looking to continue our emphasis on the government sector. But at the same time, we are also now actively looking for projects in, you know, AAA rated private sector as well. So going forward, you know, we will be looking at both directions. We already backed about 600 crore in the last 3 months. Primarily, a good portion of it was a 300 crore order from the Pune Police Housing and also an order from the UP government. Going forward, we will hopefully, you know, next year our target is to increase our private sector exposure, because as of now it's extremely low.
Okay. So, I mean, and which area are you looking? I mean, you are also looking in railway segment or this redevelopment railway station project, which is coming up at very big from the government push. So are you looking those areas as well?
Yes. We will look at any kind of building. So even railway stations do qualify as buildings for us. So we will be participating. You know, there are many tenders, there are many departments, and there are a huge number of tenders that get floated. So we need to pick and choose at any point of time, given our limitations of resources, our limitations of guarantees and, you know, bandwidth. But yes, railway stations are definitely on our path.
And the 60 crore limit, when do you expect to be this term?
Hopefully within the next, hopefully before our next call.
Okay. And the second question with respect to real estate. So if you could give some number in terms of what was the total delivery in this financial year for which we have booked about 140 crore revenue. And recognize 140 crore revenue, and what is the delivery schedule for FY24? Because as you said that if going this year also delivery will be very good and P&L numbers will look good. So what is the delivery schedule in FY24?
No, so in FY23 we had completions from about 3 or 4 real estate projects, and that is where those revenues have, you know, reflected on the balance sheet, and the bottom lines are also reflected. Going forward in FY24, we do not foresee us completing any of the bigger projects, because most of them have just started, including Coimbatore and Kharadi. And you know, so these projects will not be completed in the coming year. They will get completed in the year after that. So again, a good chunk of revenue recognition we foresee to be happening in FY25 and not in FY24 for real estate.
Okay. So FY25 will go in terms of P&L, right?
And FY24, for real estate would be a little bit, yeah, 25 will be good, yes.
Okay, so FY24 will be slightly softer or maybe some decline in terms of
that's what we are foreseeing. Yeah.
And in terms of this five project we have in terms of launch pipeline, so do you expect to launch at least two or three of them in FY24?
Yes, we expect to launch at least three projects in FY24.
Which on this Powai, Kharadi and
Santa Cruz will also be launched.
Okay.
So and in fact, we are hopeful we might even launch Baner before the end of the week.
Okay. Okay, thanks. And all the best for your upcoming quarters at next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on good setup results.
Thank you.
I was going to your historical calls also. Okay, so this question is like this. Last time the big issue was when inflation came, cost of capital increased and projects started getting delayed. And higher input and labor cost made a lot of projects unprofitable for us and some got even stuck. Okay. How do you see this type of risk this time and how do you minimize such a risk in orders which you may be taking now or your order book what you have? This was the big issue in FY 12, 13 and 14. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, see, from FY 12, 13, 14, we've learned quite a few lessons. So, we have a lot of, you know, smaller things that we do within the companies, disciplines that we follow to minimize our risks or our exposures or to ensure that, you know, the amount of money that is lying outside with our client is minimized. This is to do with the kind of clients we take, the kind of projects we take, the terms at which we take for different clients. For government sector, of course, you don't get to negotiate terms. We can just choose which department we want to work with. In the private sector, we have strongly been negotiating terms in our favor and ensuring that we do not have our risks lying on the other side of the table. Also, having said that, to do with inflation, there is only so much we can do in costing. Every time we cost for a project, we do provide for a little bit of inflation over the 2-3 year project period. You must note, however, that you know most of our key materials are generally covered by the contract in, either as a pass-through base rate or through PWD indexations. So therefore, we get the inflation on those items are you know covered for us. It's only very few items that do not get covered. We take a little bit of a buffer for those when we cost and back the project. But yeah, if something really unprecedented happens, like it happened 3-4 years ago in COVID, for example, the prices shot through the roof within a 6-8 month period. That is when we feel the heat. But otherwise, generally, the way our contracts are structured, we should not be feeling the burden of these inflations.
Okay. So, if I should understand that the cash, the critical difference between us today and in FY13-14 would be the cash lying in the or uncollected for the work we have done is much smaller than what used to be in that period of time. Okay. And we would have slightly higher built-in inflation in most of the projects.
Yeah, and more importantly, the terms we are having with each of the clients we choose. For example, private clients, bank guarantees, or the assets that have to be funded for their project, we get them to fund it. We do not put up performance guarantees. Also, for example, earlier, I mean, the small thing, since you brought up the topic, we used to have our advance guarantee lying with the client. While he recovered the advance, there was still a guarantee lying with him for, you know, even portions of the recovered advance. So now we give these guarantees in much smaller portions and keep taking back our guarantees for the amount recovered. So these are small housekeeping issues which, you know, the lessons have been learned and we are very careful on all these counts.
And secondly, on the GN, means the subsidiary, though even we want to sell, but what would be the priorities and what is the business looking like in 24-25 because generally valuation will depend on future prospects of the business. Okay.
Yes, if you see in JMP over the last 2-3 years, you know, they've also, just like our EPC division, the growth has stabilized. They've come out of, you know, whatever issues we had. And the bottom line this time has also, the percentage EBITDA has, you know, stabilized. We look, going forward now, it is a matter of, you know, growing. And I think that they are also predicting, the division is also predicting to grow at, same like our EPC division, to grow at about 15-20% year on year for the next 2-3 years. And the bottom line percentage will only slightly improve with scale.
Okay. Okay. And the orders, what they are taking, will it be significantly higher? What would be at same time last year, or anything you can give on the business traction on that company?
So they are, if they have to grow at 15-20% year on year, obviously their order intake would also have to increase. See, for GMP, their orders are normally extinguished in a much shorter period than, say, for EPC. So in EPC, while we say we start the year with X and then we expect to do X by 3, for GMP it's totally different because their orders are, you know, they do not last such a long period. So seeing their order book at a particular point of time would not help. Seeing what exactly they bagged over a year would help us assess. And yes, definitely they'll be bagging more orders going forward to keep the growth.
And eventually, GMP is currently having order book is more than 200 crore lying with them. So this is current condition. So as it's been said, that the order keeps on coming every month, every quarter. So GMP's growth is significant. Growth is expected next year also. It's continuing.
Okay, thanks for that detailed response. And lastly, as a company in the top management, the debt has been reduced to minimum, okay? So one of the priority targets has been achieved, okay? But let us say for next 3 years, okay, what would be the top three priorities or targets you want to achieve? One is done, but now if you take a clean slate, how do you model the company and the targets you will be are setting for next 3 years now?
So for the EPC business, see, we do not want, so we will bear in three different businesses, so each target and each criteria would be different. On the EPC side, we want to increase our working capital limit primarily for the non-fund base. So our non-fund exposure will increase because there is no choice. There's no way you can have growth without increasing your non-fund risk. So those will continue to increase. However, we will keep a cap on our CC limits and use it very prudently. Again, it's a business call that sometimes, you know, we have advances available from clients at reasonable rates which help us tide along. At some time, it is better to use a little bit of your CC limits to keep the projects running. So we expect the CC limit to go up, but not too much, very marginally. On the real estate side, we will be funding our projects on a case-to-case, project-to-project basis. So definitely we will be taking either construction finance or some nominal debt in the beginning of the project, if needed, case-to-case basis, you know, at the project level.
Okay, okay. Thank you for my side.
Going forward, this year we would want to focus on improving our rating also by a notch or two, and then renegotiating our terms with the banking consortium so that, you know, our terms are much more efficient. As of now, we still feel we are not getting the best of terms. We hadn't backed performance for a while. Now that we have performance on our side, we would want to negotiate our terms with the bank this year.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for your detailed replies.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Rishit Shah from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, and congrats for the great set of numbers. So, firstly, continuing from what the previous participants already asked, so on the EPA side, when we say we have some filters while bidding for an order or similar, so can you quantify what are the filters? Is it some other set limit or a target margin that we see while bidding for an order?
Yeah, so see, the first thing is we continuously look for a design and build EPC mode project. So even the governments are coming up with this mode of contracting. The private sector can be receptive to it if we give them a, you know, competitive offer. Now, what this mode of contracting does is it gives us a competitive advantage. We have huge amount of in-house strength in architecture, engineering, and we are very confident to use these strengths and add design efficiencies, which creates a win-win situation for us and the client. And that sort of covers, you know, a couple of basis points of risk for other things that an item rate contract doesn't cover. So that is one thing which we keep doing as a focus point to increase our margins a little bit. The second thing is, as I said, depends on the client. If we are now dealing with a non-AAA private client, if I may say so, then we are very careful with the terms which we negotiate with them. So we do not put up our performance guarantees, even if it means at the end, you know, we don't back the order for that purpose. We are very careful, so we do not put up performance guarantees. We do not fund the capital acquisition in terms of aluminium shuttering or, you know, huge amount of equipment that needs to be funded for that project from our pocket. So we ensure that it is funded by the client. It could be recovered from us over the project period, but the initial funding, we put it on the client side. So we, as I said, in terms of retention bank guarantees or other bank guarantees, we give them in smaller pieces so that we can keep pulling out bank guarantees, you know, as and when they are due to us, rather than leaving a big chunk with the client. And yes, on we ensure that our, see, there's only so much you can do in terms of the rate, because there is competition in the market. If I say, you know, I want 20% margin, I might not be in the game at all. So we do, but at the same time, on the private sector, we do not cut rate to a point, you know, that is below 15% gross profits or anything, because we would rather than work on the government sector. There's enough projects. So we are not extremely aggressive or desperate, if I may say so, to back projects from the private sector if our terms are not met.
Got it, got it. Makes sense. Secondly, so do we kind of, I know the concentration right now is on the building side or the civil side. So any plans to, I mean, kind of diversify into other segments?
As of now, in the immediate short term, no. I think there's enough work out there in the building. There are, you know, so many departments, so many kinds of buildings, and the private sector is again opening up. There's a lot of work in the building sector across the country. So as of now, no active plan to deliberately diversify into non-buildings.
Right, great. And thirdly, on the real estate side, so basically we have a good enough pipeline on our hands right now. But I just wanted to understand the thought process in selecting a particular project or entering a particular area. I mean, how do you go about that? So what is the strategy behind selecting a particular project or a particular target audience or target city or the location that you select?
So as of now, our cities that we are, you know, working in are only Pune, Mumbai and Coimbatore. So in the immediate term, we do not have any intention to expand geographically in going into other cities. You know, we'll be focusing on these three cities where we've already established a brand name and we've delivered projects and we have, you know, recognition and strength. In Bombay, given the size of our company, we feel what's best suited for us is, you know, niche redevelopment projects like the one in Santa Cruz that we have backed. So we will be looking for similar projects going forward. Those projects might be small in terms of square footage, but, you know, they'll be visible. They will be reasonable in terms of top line, bottom line for us. In Pune, we look for joint, Pune and Coimbatore, we look for joint ventures. Again, we are not now looking for huge parcels like we used to 10, 12 years ago, you know, 50 acre township projects. We are now looking for not more than 4-5 acres of land, not more than 1 million square feet in a project that we can deliver over a 3-4 year period and move on. So that is our strategy as of now to do with. And as I said, we are not looking at land banking. We will be looking at joint ventures. So yeah, that is the strategy for real estate.
Great, makes sense. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Jain from Jain Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. I just have a couple of questions. Firstly, sir, I just wanted to understand in the presentation, we had mentioned for Forest County that collections have been 56 crores, but no revenue has been recognized. If you could please explain, sir, I mean, how does this work? The revenue recognition for Forest County?
So this Forest County project comes through a company called Ajanta,
okay,
where we are, I think, 50% stakeholders. So that is the AOP.
Okay.
And so what happens is we only get profit share that is recognized on our balance sheet. We do not get to recognize the revenue from there onto our balance sheet.
Okay. And sir, the second question was regarding Ajanta Enterprise itself. You have mentioned that we've got a JV partner. We've got a JV partner, and hence there has been some agreement for sale of FSI. So if you can just talk about that, sir.
Which company are you talking about?
Ajanta Enterprise, sir. I think you had mentioned one of the JV ventures has entered in for sale of FSI to some party.
No sale. So we sold last year. We did sell a portion of the land that was there in Ajanta.
Okay.
That was last year, and we did sell some TDR this year. It's not a joint venture. It is actually a profit sharing partnership that we have in Ajanta, where we are 50%, and there are two other partners in that company who hold the balance 50%. And but no other sale of assets in that. I mean, no other sale of land in that entity. There's a little bit more parcel that is available there, which we intend to develop going forward.
Okay. So one last question on Bascon Developers Private Limited. I think we have changed that to LLP, and I think our stake has also come down. So any idea if you can speak about who's the new partner and why has our stake come down? I think we've lost some stake and we've reduced to 35%, I think.
Yeah, so there, that is, the land in, we had a land in Powai, and now we've taken in, so we intend to develop that land rather than, try and sell it off. So we've taken in an equity partner on that project, so that we have the funds available to launch. There's a huge amount of expenditure involved in launching that project, being in Mumbai. There is premium FSI cost, TDR cost, and launch costs, which are quite high. Now, considering our strategy, we do not want to be investing our cash flows either. We look at, up to approval, we look at it as land cost. So we do not want to be investing our cash flows on land acquisition in that sense further. Nor do we want to be borrowing heavily to fund these, other than an initial amount of construction finance in our real estate projects, which we will liquidate, we will pay off quickly within a year or two. We do not want to be taking long-term borrowings or medium-term borrowings in real estate projects. So we thought the best strategy is to get in an equity partner, dilute our stake, and so that's why you see our shareholding is coming up.
So what was the kind of amount that the equity partner will be pouring in, sir?
I'm not, so I think we'll have to give you offline the details of this deal, because there was a valuation done, and then according to the valuation of the land plus the premium, we got an equity partner come in. The exact numbers, I think, we'll touch base offline after the call, and we'll be able to share this to you on email.
Got it, sir. And the last question is, what kind of realization, say, approximately you would be looking at for the Aurangabad land? Just to understand how does the balance sheet change.
Yeah, so that is about 26-28 crores we expect from the sale of Aurangabad land. But see, that is, Aurangabad land is pledged with SBI for our consortium banking limits. So we've got NOC from them to sell the land, and then the proceeds will be, kept as an FD with the bank, at least in the short term, till we find alternate collateral.
Understood, sir. Okay, so thank you so much. I'll come back and let you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good morning. So my first question is on the real estate side. So you mentioned majority of our revenue from the real estate will come in FY25. So you mentioned something about degrowth in this segment?
No, so it is not really a degrowth. So I would like you to understand that our real estate segment is only growing. We are launching more and more projects now going forward. But the thing with real estate is, it's an accounting issue to do with revenue recognition in days. So we've launched, for example, we've launched two projects already, which we expect to finish, but it will not finish before March 24. And we will not get the completion. And therefore, while there will be significant expenditure, there will be significant sales, there will be significant collections in all of these projects, we will not get to recognize those revenues. They will lie as inventory as of March 2024. And then before March 2025, we expect to finish these projects and get the completions. And then they will be recognized as revenue. So what is going to happen for us in real estate over the next 4-5 years is that we will see a little bit of ups and downs, year on year. But on an average, I can tell you that the real estate is set to grow much more than what, over the next 4-year period, I can predict on an average, you can expect, much more than what we have delivered this year on real estate.
So, sir, when you say we recognize the revenue at the time of completion of projects, but we recognize the sales, expenses at the time of expenses is incurred? That's the reason our margins are so,
Yeah, so two kinds of expenses. See, certain expenses are inventorized, so they do not hit the books as expenses. They remain as inventory. Direct expenses remain as inventory. Indirect expenses, however, salaries, marketing, overhead, all of those come as expenses.
So now, sir, when we are looking only for JV and not the land buying and anything, we are looking for JV and some small projects in the real estate. So do we have any kind of IRR or the margins expectation for, I am talking about the medium term, at least if you can guide what will be a medium term IRR or a ROC in the real estate sector or the margins, because when we have a look at the margins in this particular sector segment, the margins is so like volatile. Just want to understand how it's going to work in medium term, let's say.
So again, yeah, so on the EPC side, we hope to be getting gross profits in the range of 15-16, which will eventually translate. I mean, our target is a dream to, achieve a 10% PBT on the EPC business. We are at 8 currently. We hope we can, bring that up. But even 8 is reasonably healthy given how the market performs. So in EPC, our gross profits margin from a project would be in the range of 15 in general. On the same calculation methods on the real estate side, our gross profit expectations are, normally in the range of 25-30%. So I keep mentioning that we call it glorified EPC because it is still finally execution and design that is in our side of the story. The land and finance cost or the share of land and finance could be taken by other partners. What is left in the whole game would be what the premium that a developer in terms of bringing his brand, sales, marketing, design and execution. That is what we would command. And so that will be definitely more than EPC. So we expect, generally our calculations show that we'll be around in the range of 25-30%.
Got it. Okay. And so my last question is on the BMS segment. So we have seen a very good growth, YOY growth of 200 to 250 crores. So can you shed some light on that? What kind of growth we are looking in this segment and any color on margins?
Yeah, so I had mentioned just now that so GMP is now clear of all its legacy troubles and issues and it is now looking robust, ready to grow at the same pace. So we are expecting another 15-20%. Growth in top line in the coming year, and the bottom line has now stabilized. The impact with scale, we expect the bottom line would also impact increase by a percentage point or two at the EBITDA level.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the our ongoing and the completed projects. What is the pending sales value in the ongoing and completed projects?
For EPC?
No, for real estate.
170 crores on the real estate projects.
Okay. And also for the sales that we have done, what is the pending collection on that?
So that would... I mean, generally in real estate, how much? There would be no pending. See, I mean, 100 odd crores is to be collected from units already sold. However, they're not due. The collection is not due at this point of time. Generally, our real estate division collections are, online. So when there's when it's due, generally there's not much of a lag in terms of collection.
Okay. And so, regarding, you know, you said you will be launching like 3 to 4 projects in FY24. So, what kind of average sales velocity do you look for?
So, our intention is, you know, to finish selling off at least 50% of the project when we launch. We've sort of, in principle, achieved that number with our Kharadi project as well as our Coimbatore project at this point in time. That sort of, you know, gives us the confidence that construction is not going to be an issue, and the construction finance or that we borrow is not going to be the only source of funding. In fact, that gives us visibility that we'll be able to pay back that construction finance debt ASAP. And then after that, again, the second plan is that by the time we finish the project, before that, we definitely want to be finished with the balance sales. So we do not want to be ending up with a completed project and inventory in hand. So based on this, you know, we get the pricing at each point of time, which will give us the desired flow of sales.
Okay, but the average period would be like what till you complete the project? Would it be like 3-4 years?
2 years, typically, 2.5 years. Once we have launched and started, I mean, real estate takes more than a year to launch because, you know, plan, design, approval, all of that. But sales only happen through RERA. Sales can only happen once you've done all of that and broken ground. So from the time of breaking ground to finishing a building, typically 2-2.5 months.
Okay. And also, sir, regarding the projects that we have launched and that we have in our, you know, inventory, what kind of EBITDA margins do we look to achieve there?
So as I said, the gross profit in real estate, you know, we expect to get all these projects are in the range of 25-30%. In EPC, it's in the range of 15%. I think EBITDA would then depend on the top line that we achieve for the year. Our EBITDA this year is what? No, overall EBITDA. Company level. 10-12% at the company level, I think hopefully we could improve that, on that a little bit.
Okay, but what would be that EBITDA margins for real estate business? Like not on the reported, not on the reported.
As of now, it's 34%.
Okay, but actually I'm not talking about the reported basis, but basically on the projects that we are going to launch, what kind of EBITDA margins like do we look to achieve there on a cash flow basis?
About 30%,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rikesh Parekh from Rockset Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on maintaining, getting this debt level to the 12 crores. So my first question is around the debt level. That means we have reduced the debt from around 134, net debt around from 134 crores to 12 crores. So can you help me with the bridge, means from where this it has been reduced, means equity raise, monetization and cash flow?
That's a combination of all three. We did a preferential in this period. So that helped us reduce about 40 odd crores of debt. And then the balance has primarily been through cash from operations. We hardly had any one-off sales, nothing much. Some 7-8 crore of one sale that we did. Balance has been, you know, cash inflow from operations.
Okay. No monetization in last 2 years? Yes.
The last 2 years only that one, Babdan land, which was nothing much, not more than 10 crores.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. That's helpful. Second, what will be our current rate of interest for that?
Current rate is 11%. Cost to company as of now is
11%. Yeah. Secondly, in our monetization part, we have suggested Aurangabad land and the GMP technical. So, Aurangabad, what is the timeline and the value we are negotiating as such?
Aurangabad land will fetch us about 26-28 crores. It is scheduled to happen in the next month or two itself. We bought the NOC from the bank as well. And as I said, you know, that land is pledged with SBI for the consortium limits. So this proceeds of the sale will also go to SBI in the form of an FD as a pledge for the consortium limits till we find any alternative collateral.
Sure. And for GMP technical means, have you got any bid or anything as such?
No. GMP, we have not yet started actively looking. There are mandates. We're not desperate or looking very actively with a target in mind to sell it. We will look at valuation as and when we get offers, and if we feel something is good, then we'll take it forward.
Operationally, has the GMP turnaround, means top line EBITDA margin or something like that?
Yeah, GMP is now very healthy. It's passed all its troubled times, and last 2 years it's done very well. This year, in fact, it has grown by 20-25% in top line, and the bottom line is about 16 crores this year. And next year they expect to grow on both top line and bottom line from here on. So I think we took a target last 3-4 years to stabilize the business, to handhold it and guide it out of its troubled waters and ensure that it is looking forward towards growth. We have achieved that. It is now definitely growing well, it is performing well, and it is giving the expected margins in the sector. So from here, we can look at suitors. As I said, if we get the right valuation or what we feel is a good price for Vascon to exit, we will take a call.
And my last question now for going forward, what is the focus area, EPC real estate, or and how we should be looking at the growth in both the segment assets?
Yes, so we have only EPC and real estate. Everything else for the last 5-6 years we've classified as non-core, including GMP. So we view ourselves only experts in two fields. That too, one field, technically, as I keep saying, glorified contracting. So we are people who know to design, build, and execute, and we have a brand recognition that helps us sell and market our projects. So we will be focusing only on these two wings. The EPC will continue to look for order booking year-on-year, augmentation of their banking facilities as we grow. And so it's a cyclical thing. We grow our banking limits, then we take more orders, we grow further, we keep going back to the banks. So that process will continue, and hopefully from here, the EPC story is to keep delivering similar or slightly better PBTs while they continue to grow at 15-25% year-on-year in terms of their top lines. For real estate, in the initial sense, we've been low for a while. In the initial phase, we expect a higher growth, more than 15-20%, because we want to catch up for a bit, and then it will also stabilize. But in the interim, so in real estate, our strategy is always to do joint ventures, not to put capital on land, and look at it as a glorified EPC, where our margins will be higher than third-party EPC. So these are the two engines. With these simple focuses in mind, we will continue to grow. Real estate geographically will not go beyond Pune, Mumbai, and Coimbatore as of now. And within Mumbai, it will not be big projects which are beyond the capacity of the company. It will be niche redevelopment projects. And in Pune and Coimbatore, there will be joint ventures in prime area, in good locations, not really big projects on the outskirts. These are the guidelines under which we intend to grow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Manish Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, what should be the benchmark for this GMP technical valuation, sir? At present, suppose we take the turnover, so what should be? It should be 2x, 3x?
No, I don't know, actually. See, I think these companies generally would get valued as multiple of EBITDA. We are yet to get an understanding of how exactly it would get valued in terms of whether multiple of top line or EBITDA. So yeah, I wouldn't want to speculate on a...
Suppose if you take the EBITDA, what should be the approximate?
Maybe 10, 12. I don't know, actually. We expect EPCs generally get valued like that, so considering it's similar to EPC, maybe in that range.
8-10 times?
Yeah, 10, 12. I don't know. Actually, very honestly, I wouldn't want to stick my neck out and give a number because we haven't got offers from the market to gauge what. There might be other premiums, there might be other, since it's a niche company, there could be other reasons why foreign companies coming in would want to take a stake in it. So these
multiples could go up. So we will know as we now approach the market going forward.
Thank you, sir. And another question is about, considering our size and negligible or no debt, I think we should double our company in next 3.5 years.
See, we do expect 15-20% growth is what I would give as a guideline over the next 3-4 years. That is definitely visible. We do not see any impediments to stop that kind of a trajectory, if not more. Also, the bottom line, on an average, since we have recognition of bottom line from real estate, which will be a bit wavery year on year due to Ind AS. So, but on an average over the next 4 years, we should be doing more than 100 crores as a bottom line and growing 1,000 crores into 15-20% year on year. That's the target we can take. We might not exactly double, but yeah, hopefully, if we can, that will be even better.
And sir, another thing is that seeing all the financials and everything, I think the margin should go up from here a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely the intention with the scale, with size. We do hope that the margin goes up a little bit. Having said that, in EPC, the margin, you know, for even big companies are generally tight and single digit. As you grow in EPC, what also happens is your pickiness of projects. You might, when we are small, we can be very choosy and pick high margin projects only. As we have a target of top line, sometimes you have to let go of a percentage point or two in your margins to bag a project. So that sort of levels you down. But having said that, yes, with scale, with increase in top line, we definitely, our endeavor is to keep a focus on the bottom line and increase it a bit.
Sir, any new development on the Thane line, sir?
No update on the Thane land. Nothing to share.
Thank you for answering all the questions, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. You may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Dr. Santosh Sundararajan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you, everyone, for the enthusiastic participation. And if there are any further queries, feel free to write to us through Stella, and we will get back to you. And I'll see you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Vascon Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.